If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Ebola in the Bible, Ebola in the Bible, Ebola everywhere. Ebola in the church, Ebola in the mosque. Kill all people every day. Oh yeah. Ebola in the Bible, Ebola in the Bible, Ebola everywhere. Ebola in the church, Ebola in the mosque. Kill all people every day. Oh yeah. Just to wash your hands clean. With glory and water. Don't shake people's hands. Don't hug people at all. They say don't eat bad things. All eat a monkey meat. Don't eat bush meat, they say. For Ebola is real.
Fire up the pedal-powered brain-smashing machine. It's the June Improved Daily Show, presented by the Right Stuff Biz.
This is the Daily Show.
I'm Seven Sun, and for today's struggle session, I'm joined on my right by Michael Enoch and Ghoul, and on my other right by Bulbasaur and Alex McNabb. Let's see, we've got some new features we're going to be trying out this week, and of course, Marakiu, we bring us the Merchant Minute, as usual. So listen up, tell us what you think in the comments. Before we go any further, I want to give a shout-out to Ryan McMahon, who's doing a killer job adminning the rightstuff.biz Facebook page. If you haven't already, make sure you go ahead and like it so you can get your constant stream of triggering on the Book of Faces. All right.
He's really, really good at
that. Yeah, he's killing it. He is killing it. Activity's up, likes are up. It's just like...
We're up over 600 likes.
Yeah.
Now.
But we want more. We want you.
1488.
Yes, that's the goal.
That's the magic.
If we ever get 1488, stop liking us.
Yeah, we don't if you come to the page and there's 1488 likes, don't click like. I'm going to have to tempt you.
Try to keep it as long as keep it like that as long as we possibly can.
So yes, thank you, Ryan. So let's get the show on the road. Sorry. So I guess we're going to dip into the TRS mailbag first. What do we got?
Well, okay, just first of all, I got one from Matthew, who just wanted to say that he noticed the donate button, but he wanted to don his fedora and bow tie and send Bitcoin instead. I hadn't had it set up to accept Bitcoin, but I set that up, even though Bitcoin has been, I suppose the price has been going down. I haven't been following it in a few months. So, yeah, I mean, if you really want to give us Bitcoin, we can. I don't know how I can ever actually turn that into cash without getting defrauded, but whatever. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, there's a Bitcoin donate button now.
Sweet.
So we got another email from MD, which I'm just going to read here. Hi, I've been a fan of your stuff for some time now. As you can see, my libertarian sites have been floundering. The official reason has been my graduate studies. In reality, as with my atheism before it, my antipathy towards libertarianism has had to do with certain personal revelations. With atheism, it was the fact that there is nothing inherently more evil in religion than in any other kind of organization. I've considered myself agnostic for a long time now. With libertarianism has been the realization of race as one of the, if not primary, determinant of social success. Politically, I'd call myself pragmatic, laissez-faire, racial nationalist, who would prefer national socialism over multiculturalism. Mm-hmm. Race has been an issue I've been fighting with since my teenage years. In reality, it's merely come to a head, my head, and become such a glaring problem in my perspective. I still believe in the value of agorist strategies as a means of securing white communities. Anyway.
Ha, like gay for chance, 10 hours. Sorry.
I'd like a chance to try writing some articles for your site. Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, I'll try and get in contact with you, MD. Maybe we could hook up on Facebook and you could chat with us or something like that.
Definitely.
Sure. I mean, you sound a lot like that's sort of the – I hate to use the fucking word journey – but like that's sort of
you are a fellow traveler.
That's my, you know, no, but I mean that's similar to me. Like I was a atheist libertarian, and yes, I realized basically those same two things: that one, religion isn't any worse than anything else; probably a lot better than a lot of things, and race basically sabotages all libertarian theories about agency and economic man and all of that stuff. I firmly believe all of that works if you have a majority white community.
I even have a hard time thinking it works at that point. If we're talking like full-on libertarian.
I'm not talking about anarchist libertarian. Like, agorism is fucking gay. I'm sorry. Like, I always, even when I was a libertarian, I thought that was gay. I just mean like a laissez-faire economy. I don't support, like, and I don't think we would need, given a majority like 90-95% white nation, I really don't think that you would even need some sort of national socialist economic policy. I think that would only be a recipe for tyranny, and it wouldn't be necessary at all. But, you know, libertarianism as in like small state minarchy for a majority white nation, I know, that's basically what I, and I don't think you can have it without a majority white nation.
Right. Don't they say that's the thing that libertarians are either pretending they don't notice or they actually don't notice, that the entire movement is just straight white males fapping about Austrian economic theory? And then, and then go ahead.
It was until recently.
Yeah. And allow me to interject, like, my side of it is, like, one thing that I noticed, because I think, excuse me, out of everyone in the group, I believe I – well, no. Seventh Son, you were the last to kind of jump ship. But you probably remember, like I do, when females, the feminist milieu started getting involved. And it's just like everything else that you're seeing in the news about Gamergate, the news, everything you're seeing about bitching on the social networks about Gamersgate and all of that, all the blatant rent seeking. I mean, that's something that's just really that's causing a lot of dissonance. Like, there are several people that we kind of deal with out here on the networks, and they're talking about how things have changed and have gotten so much shittier now that pretty much you're how libertarianism is kind of really fucking queer now, and it's not getting any better. And that's been the big thing for me. That, as far as what I think would happen is, I don't even necessarily think it has to be majority white as far as the whole nation. It's just as long as the leadership isn't kowtowing to – the way I would say it is there has to be a majority in the leadership. The thing for me is like the lower class will always kind of be muddy. Like that's just what we do. Like I come from that. I mean, you look at how lower class people have always worked through time. Honestly, they would fuck animals if they were pushed enough. Like, I mean, it just doesn't. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, as long as the leadership is homogenous, it doesn't matter. And the thing for me is I don't think you can have a homogenous leadership with females. I guess is kind of what I've kind of been talking around it, but I really think there needs to be more explicit pushes against female participation.
Yeah, what he's talking about is it's essentially just a basic conservative talking point that you need your societal norms. They serve a fucking purpose, and you cannot have a chaotic individualistic society that will stay functional for very long. It's got to be some sort of homogeny there. There has to be some central norms. And I agree with what he's saying. Like, if you've got females involved, that's probably not a good idea, because they're just going to try to please other members of their social group, and it's not going to be as cohesive.
And you'll have your beta males who want to fuck those women, so they will go along with...
Well, I mean, it's a domino effect.
Like, even though it's probably very non-reactionary of me to say, I'm really not really at all against women having positions of power as long as they can prove, like, demonstrate that they deserve those positions of power. But yeah. I believe, like, the same thing with any man as well.
Yeah. And the thing is there are women that exist that can compete with men. But historically and even modern day, they're exceedingly rare. I mean, the alpha women usually are more interested in rent seeking because that's biologically wired into them, and it honestly is just the easiest route. I mean, path of least resistance works for everyone, irregardless of the plumbing.
Like, I would still like stand by that idea that, you know, anyone who like proves they deserve the position should have it. But when we have this democracy, it's really, really hard on any, like, on any level to really achieve that. Mm-hmm. And it irritates me that someone like Hillary Clinton all of the young vote and most of the older vote really sees voting for her as more of a rebellious thing to do to defeat a status quo rather than really rather than questioning if she's actually worthy of being president.
Well, I mean, one of the interesting things about the whole attitude is that women are naturally, like we talked about, they're naturally sort of predisposed towards rent seeking as a social strategy. And the idea of meritocracy is a very male thing. And I don't doubt that there are women that are outliers that can compete in any field with a man. Like, you could have a woman who could, you know, be up there with men. You know, she would be a distant outlier for her group. The problem with that, though, is that that's not how the popular consciousness looks at it. The popular consciousness has been taught deliberately to believe that those are not, there are no natural predilections for male or female. Men are not naturally more competitive. Women are not naturally more operate in the safe zone, rent seek, etc. So they have the idea that if it's not equally representative between men and women or whatever other groups there are, that there's some kind of problem that needs to be fixed. So even if people say, like, we believe in meritocracy, we can't actually ever have meritocracy because the status quo is never the outcome of a meritocracy. Mm-hmm. Like, they refuse to believe that. So I agree with meritocracy, and I would – the only thing is that I just don't know how you would get there because I don't know – there needs to be just a shift in consciousness because I don't know that people could value that for itself and believe that the winners that we have – are there because, and I actually myself in today's environment don't believe that the people that are at the top are all there, because some of them definitely are, but many of them are not.
Alex, what do you got?
I mean, like, tabula rasa is a fucking superstition. It's insane that people believe this nonsense. There's no biological evidence for it. If you just have a fucking brain and you observe reality, there's no evidence to support the idea that we're blank fucking slates. Yep. And there's no predilections born into us. I mean, God fucking damn it. Have you ever, like, gone to any kind of competitive event? It's mostly dominated by males because that's what we're wired to do. We're fucking competitive. There's nothing keeping women out of that sort of environment. In fact, if women are in that environment, they're usually given perks.
Yeah,
they really are.
I think it's been well established for quite a long time that children have a natural attachment to mothers that they just don't have with fathers. And usually abusive mothers cause a lot more psychological damage to children than abusive fathers, or just absent fathers, absent mothers, you know, vice versa. But for some reason, it seems to escape the minds of everybody that even though you have a female who's has children who are biologically, psychologically inclined to look to her for nurturing, and she's full of estrogen and has tits that have milk. For some reason, they're not supposed to be. They're just as qualified to be men. I don't know.
Well, you know, this is going to go kind of off point, but sitting here kind of thinking about what we're saying, it's like we actually are kind of coming to an egalitarian premise. Like, there's an egalitarian standard. It's just that people that will achieve that standard of equality, of peerage, they'll probably sort of look similar and they'll probably be majority male. But it would still in operation be what the left is always trying to tout as their ideal. It's just we're not trying to change the people. Like, I guess we want to accept reality, like human beings being different, or some people just not being very good at certain things, or
but reality is sexist and racist.
I know.
I get the idea, and even for me, because I was raised, and like all of us raised in the United States in this last period of time, the cultural value set was programmed into my brain. So when I rebel against it, I do get dissonance. But I would say that even though my gut is like, and what I've been programmed to think by the culture is like, yes, let women compete if they can. Let women be in politics. Let women vote. Let women participate in this, that, and the other. Like, I get that and I understand it, and that sort of feels right. But at the same time, I'm also we've seen the results of women's suffrage. Whenever I would argue something like this, like a libertarian, whenever you argue about some sort of blanket discrimination, whether racial or gender-based, the thing they always come back with is, well, you know, first of all, they come right back with Naxalt, not all X is like that. And the argument is always, well, they're not all like that, and by excluding all of them, you are missing out on a potential opportunity from the best and brightest from that group. And that's true. All things considered, that's a risk that I'm willing to take, and I think that's a risk that we would have to be willing to take, because the offset benefit of losing that little benefit from the best and brightest of X, Y, and Z group versus just not having the influence of the 90% that you don't want is like the cost benefit there, I think, weighs in definitely the direction of just discrimination. But that's also completely alien to our popular consciousness.
To put in a very – to kind of give like a vulgar example, like, I mean, why is Ninja Warrior so entertaining to watch? It's because they make the course so impossibly difficult that only maybe four or five people out of hundreds actually win. And it's really entertaining to see these four or five people rise to the top. And out of them, there's actually one female that went very far, and she was freaking awesome, and she was very attractive.
Yeah, I mean, I would not exclude someone based on their sex or gender. I'm sorry, I wouldn't. I've been in competitive environments for years, and occasionally you do see women in there that are successful, but they're about, I would guess, 1-2%. I mean,
I'm not talking about athletics in terms of anything that has quantifiable, immediate standard.
Yeah.
Sure, but I'm talking about politics. I'm specifically talking about suffrage.
I wouldn't exclude based on sex there either. I would just raise the bar for what you have to participate. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to rule someone out just based on their sex.
I don't think anyone actually deep down believes in the not all X are like that crap. I think it just serves a purpose. Because you can say the same thing about when women say, or I should say feminists specifically, talk about rape being tied to men. People say, well, not all men rape, but it doesn't matter. And they know it, because if you want to talk about rape being an issue, and if you're going to be like an MRA loser, like, well, men are raped just as much. Fuck off. No, they're not. No, they're fucking not. Shut up. And it's true that if you wanted to make it an actual, if you really wanted to, you know, make it the issue of the day and you really wanted to talk about rape, yeah, most of your dialogue is going to be directed toward men. Or, you know, they want to talk about, you know, white people and everything that they're guilty of or whatever. It doesn't matter to them that not all acts are like that or whatever. You know, it's just, it serves a purpose.
It's so easy to get off track on this stuff, because I think everyone here agrees that there are two extremes that we've had here. We've had situations where all women were barred, including the outliers. And now we have a situation where the outliers are far dwarfed by the mediocres. And both extremes suck a whole lot. And I think, you know, that there's probably something in the middle I'm sure it would still have its flaws. I mean, you know, humans are fallible creatures, but I think all things being equal, that the current situation is, I would say, overall.
Because what you have is, all right, okay, we have two genders. Therefore, every industry or everything that the feminists
think. What about the non-binary people?
Yeah. Fuck
that. Oh, God.
No, that's way more than two genders, but we'll go with the program.
Let's square the two away first before we
get. There's 151 Pokemon genders.
Well, I was going to.
I also, before you go, I just want to go on the record that I mean, maybe we can settle this another time, but I disagree with Alex. I'm perfectly fine with blanket forbidding of women from voting.
I am too, because I think that would work out better than what I'm about to say is, you know, they're always demanding that, oh, well, there's two genders, so therefore we got to have 50-50 women to men and everything, whether it's tech, whether it's Senate seats. And it just doesn't shake out that way, because men and women aren't exactly the same. So
yeah, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. I would rather, you know, I would be fine with, okay, we have our meritocracy that is, you know, we have all these men, and then, you know, you allow the women outliers to get through. But that's like a perfect, that's in a perfect world. You can, I mean, obviously that's not what's going on now. So
yeah, in fairness though, like, for, you don't, you know, elimination of women's suffrage is as unlikely as anything, though. So, like, it's not like anything is particularly realistic.
Right.
I mean, we're LARPing right now.
yeah, definitely.
You don't need an actual gender-specific policy there. You can just raise certain requirements, and it would do the same fucking thing without intentionally discriminating.
I'm just saying that intentionally discriminating is fine, too. Either one. I could go for either one, but I'm not against blanket discrimination.
That's pretty edgy.
Look, I try to always skate close to the edge. You know,
isn't that what we do here?
Okay, so I guess we're going to show an example of a female that actually probably earned her place in TRS society.
Yeah, you know, she was uppity enough to not know her place, so she moved her place up. I don't know. Basically, you know, this little circle jerk we got going here, it needed a woman's touch, right? So while we're on the subject of sex relations, here is our first ever Shitlord Report.
Check your privilege, faggots. It's the Shitlord Report with me, Kimmy Goebbels, for TRS.biz. Today's homoerotic thrashing comes courtesy of Nicholas Kristof writing in the New York Times. I know what you're thinking. Kike, who knows? I'd oven him anyway. And I quote, "One delusion common among America's successful people is that they triumphed just because of hard work and intelligence. In fact, their big break came when they were conceived in middle-class American families who loved them, read them stories, and nurtured them with little league sports, library cards, and music lessons. They were programmed for success by the time they were zygotes. Herein, raising children properly in an unstable environment is viewed as a negative. Programmed for success from the time they were zygotes is actually what happened here. Rather than running around fathering children with multiple women, normal people, white people, marry and have children within a family framework that, surprise, surprise, leads to a successful life for the most part for your offspring. The bitter, sad, low-rent social justice warrior who either is an outlier who rebels against having been raised this way or who was raised without even knowing who daddy was would rather see the misery spread to everyone and have the family unit destroyed because not everyone can get it done. Fuck you, social justice warrior. Get married. Have children and raise them to be successful. Almost anyone can do it. What you think of as white privilege is just a culture of nurturing, responsible family life. It's not magic. It's not something anyone is going to feel guilty for once they learn to look past your shitty rent-seeking grievance-mongering." Continued, "Yet many are oblivious of their own advantages and of other people's disadvantages. The result is a mean-spiritedness in the political world or, at best, a lack of empathy towards those struggling, partly explaining the hostility to state extension of Medicaid to long-term unemployment benefits or to raising the minimum wage to keep up with inflation. Sorry, all the mean-spiritedness is on your side of the table. Your rage is envy. If people are oblivious to their own advantages, it's only because they've been blessed by not having to spend much time listening to people like you whine about how much you suck, and your family before you suck. I suppose we shouldn't worry about it too much. Your support for abortion and antipathy to marriage and family life means you're pretty much going to be bred out of existence within a generation or two. So enjoy your decline. I have things to do." For the right stuff.biz, I'm Kimmy Goebbels with the Shitlord Report. Have you learned not to rape today?
All right. I don't know about you guys, but I am full mast right now.
Okay, so I guess I feel chastened. I guess I was just proven wrong.
I did learn not to rape just now.
I have a boner.
I did not learn how to not rape. That's the first thing that's in my mind right now.
Bulbasaur's getting rapey. Oh.
The moment she lets her guard down. Yeah.
Do we have a Men of the West update you want to do for us?
Oh, God.
What is a Men of the West?
Okay. Have you ever met a fucking guy at a party who just took himself way too seriously and all he did was smoke pot and sit around and fucking do nothing and he likes to hear himself talk? That's what fucking Arena is. Add a huge dash of alt-right. Somehow he found, I don't know. Alt-right fedoras, they're rare but they exist, and that's exactly what he is.
Yeah,
he takes himself way too seriously. He'll sit there and he'll record himself talking in a suit that looks like it was purchased out of Goodwill with a shitty cigar, sitting there with a glass of whiskey, talking about why anarcho-capitalism can't succeed. Whatever the fuck.
He used to have like a backdrop of like a cityscape behind him, but that was just like a picture. And you see his actual apartment. He's got like dingy secondhand furniture, like animation on his bookshelf,
like a fake skull in the background sitting there.
Like candles.
I know I saw a video. I know I saw a fucking, like, he had like a Motorhead poster in one video games.
Oh, God.
And a leather jacket. Yeah, I remember. Oh, God. This is giving me PTSD.
Yeah, but he's essentially an alt-right fedora. And what he's essentially trying to do in most of his videos, if you watch them on, you figure out the common theme. You watch enough of them. If you watch enough of them, you come to understand that basically he's painting this picture of the world as, or particularly the Western world, as this horrible negative place. It's all evolved into this society of, specifically likes to talk a lot about like sexual degeneracy. Like we're all fucking each other, and it used to be all about love. It used to be all about,
and that's really funny.
The patriarchal pyramid. And,
yeah, that's really, really funny and, coming from him.
Yeah, we don't it's pretty fucking funny for him to talk about shit like that. I think he's admitted to being, you know, to having homosexual sex and, you know, basically being a sexual degenerate himself.
I hate to sound like a gender studies major or something, but the common theme here is, I mean, it's not hard to figure out that he has a lot of repressed anger toward not only women, but men who are, you know, like the bar bros, like going out and like getting pussy bro. And like, really a lot of his frustration comes from,
sucking.
It's sexual in nature. Like he has a lot of repressed sexual energy and he's sort of psychologically and intellectually trying to justify it and painting the whole world as a shitty place. And that's why he can't fit in. It's basically a very elaborate, I'm the nice guy shit.
So the reason we're bringing him up is he recently spent, according to him, 10,000 Canadian Monopoly bucks on a little movie that he made.
Now, and it's called Lust in the Time of Heartache, which is the most postmodern, just empty, it's just a fucking
X in the time of
soup.
Y.
Yeah,
it's funny because I don't even think Lust or Heartache even come into the stupid movie that he ended up producing.
No, there is if you watch it. What's happening is he's sort of like the one guy who's enlightened by his intelligence. And throughout the whole film, he's walking from place to place to place, observing.
Poor acting.
He's observing shitty actors.
But he paid thousands of dollars for, apparently, but he's going from place to place observing women and men interacting with each other in ways that are completely without any kind of intimacy or any kind of honor. And it's just
very poorly written dialogue.
Like they're treating each other like shit. These girls are sluts. This guy's an asshole. All this crap. And like he's walking around observing how he's basically the true gentleman enlightened by his intelligence. And then at the very end, he fights his demons who are all dressed in fedoras and then they all have a ninja battle and curtains.
He's in the friend zone and all he has found.
Yeah. The whole video is him being in the friend zone.
Well, you know, and this is the thing that really gets me. And this is actually one of the big things. Cause to be quite honest, Arini is why I'm actually involved in this whole group to begin with. It's through him that I actually got to reading The Last Psychiatrist. I met several of you guys through him. And then because of, you know, some of the stuff that happened in the past, we stopped being, you know, acquaintances or whatever. But that's always been the thing is he's – okay, the thing that bugs me is he is guilty of everything that he's accusing other people of. He's talking about the crass materialism of the world. He's spending $10,000 on a 10-people cast regurgitating a shitty script that he cobbles together when he could have, like, donated that to charity. Like, you talk about the decline of society. What have you done to improve it? All you're doing is justifying your own shittiness, and that comes back to like my whole issue with several ex-members of TRS, some members of the alt-right that I'm no longer friends with. Is it's a very similar thing, and this kind of goes back to what like the second podcast when we were talking about people that use ideology as a crutch for their own mediocrity,
right?
And it's so apparent. It's like you. And or even worse, it reminds me of like
the narrative that the modern world uses for like Christians. You know, that they use Christianity because it makes them feel better than other people, even though they're just as shitty as everyone else. Like the closet homosexual priest. You know, that's a popular trope. Or the Republican politician that has a boy toy on the side. Like everything is justifying their own paralysis and awfulness. And this is the peak. This is now the mountaintop. You know, this little lust in the whatever. This is peak oven with me. And that's really what kind of...
That being said, like, I don't know if you guys really do want to do this. I suggested kind of jokingly in the group before that if anybody out there who likes this thing wants to talk to us, I would love to talk to somebody who saw Lust in the whatever the hell it's called. And
I've actually never gotten any positive feedback from it, but I've gotten shit from people for giving it shit. But all they say to me is basically be nice to them, dude. Come on.
There's gotta be somebody out there that this is for.
It's for himself, really.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people out there that like it, but they're fucking dumb. They don't count.
My question about the whole Irini thing is, all right, now, I never knew him the way you guys did. Suddenly, I was sort of friends with him on some social networks and chatting in some groups. But I'll be honest, from looking at him and talking to him, I always thought he was just like a fucking galaxy-sized douchebag. And I never got why anybody liked him at all. And then I've never actually – I mean, not only have I never – the only video I ever watched all the way through of him is one where he yells in the parking garage like a retard, only because it's like watching – it's like something
–
yeah, it's just like watching something so you can't take your eyes off it. I've never been able to start any of the videos where he starts and he's got like his perverted smile and he's like Metal the West and he's got like his little drink. I could never – do that, because as soon as his voice starts, all I want to do is punch him in the face.
His voice is awful.
It's interesting because we're talking about with not being able to like justifying or like the whole thing being about alienation and lack of intimacy and this and that, and it's like so much of it is it's you're right, it's so obvious that that's him. Like, he is a complete phony. I can't imagine him ever having any intimacy or real relationships with any people based on his whole persona is contrived. Like, there is nothing real about this person. So it's like, of course, then he's laying all that on the world and saying, well, this is the world. It's not me. And it's like,
to listeners out there, if you don't know who this guy is, he tried to kill Flash Gordon. Okay. Ming the Merciless. That is our meaning.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm not even fucking kidding. If you're thinking of Irini, Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon, and now I've got Queen stuck in my head. So,
or just look at a low rent Anton LaVey.
Yeah,
Anton LaVey in like a suit.
Yeah, that's what I thought the moment I saw him. It's like, who the fuck's this Anton LaVey guy?
That's perfect.
Yeah, I confuse with Anton LaVey and Ming the Merciless. Like, those are the two people I think of.
But wearing like a dingy suit that he got secondhand.
What I was saying, though, is he paints his reality as the reality.
Yeah.
And the people that listen to him and like him are people that share that isolated worldview where they can't see their reality is the reality. And so when you hear him talk about basically, I'm the nice guy, fuck you bitches, and getting good feedback, it's all feedback from the people you'd expect to get feedback from. But it's interesting that he has kind of the spotlight he does.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not really that surprising. When the more time you spend in the alt-right, the more you kind of weed out what's
garbage.
Yeah. Like, and there tends to actually be a big old fat chunk of garbage.
He actually had a video I saw that was quite good, and then it was like, it sucked me in, like the rest of the channel was like, oh. He did a really long one about the like four or five different cycles of history of this generation, that generation. It was kind of interesting. It was irritating.
It was also contrived. Well, he just basically,
how could you listen to his voice for that long?
Well, I had never heard him before, and I found what he was saying actually interesting. I was annoyed as fuck by the pouring of the drink and the pating of the goddamn Zippo lighter, but I powered, because I thought it was, but then, like, you know, tried to cook another one of his videos, like, oh, no, we're not doing this anymore.
There was one thing that Ghoul was saying about the basically twisting everything to fit, like, this small worldview that justifies his own powerlessness. In there's actually a very old TRS article I wrote in response to him butchering the parable of the prodigal son. And it's real far back. It would take a while to find it in the archives. But he basically was using the parable of the prodigal to beat down on the father for accepting the prodigal coming back. That it was like I can't remember exactly how he did it, but it just completely it shows that he. And it's like everything else that he argues, like all of his psychology stuff, all of his social stuff. He just kind of lifts the very top layer and kind of presents that in a very pretentious with a very pretentious air.
Yeah.
And it comes off as being a lot more substantive than it actually is. Like, it's total garbage. It's paper thin. Anyone with even an introductory level understanding of any subject he covers can punch right through it. I mean, it's...
He's the Nickelback of philosophy.
He's the Nickelback of life.
Yeah, it's just funny that people that can't ever actually think of a world outside of themselves or that, like, maybe this... Like, yeah, you experience alienation and rejection consistently through your life and, like... And you've, like, made up for it with this sort of weirdly contrived narcissistic character that you create on YouTube. But, like, I don't know. Like, and when I asked you before, how could you possibly watch it? Like, I must have just a very extremely low tolerance for phoniness and faggotry because I cannot watch him. I cannot deal with it for more than, like, 20 seconds.
It was only my first time.
It's okay. It's all right.
Early on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've watched this stuff for the purpose of it being hilarious. Remember the very first time I ever clicked one of his videos and watched him light a cigarette and start talking? I was laughing out loud at my monitor.
The cigarette thing was just, I mean, dude, the Zippo.
I tried showing it to my wife, and she was just like, no, just no.
Turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, actually, don't we, I think we have one of his fans. Yeah, I think we do have a big Aurini fan who did volunteer to do a little bit for us.
Yeah, so we're going to move ahead with one of another new feature brought to you by TRS.biz. Enjoy.
Culture. Class. Weeaboos. 2D waifu. Friend zones, never-ending virginity, wizardry, supreme gentleman. These things and more await you in Le Chateau Ortiz. Come, join us.
This isn't your regular, everyday interviews. I like that one song, but that's it. What you guys need to do is you need to give me some vaccines, and that'll add up to my aspiness. The industry itself, the fan base, isn't going to be entirely of that demographic. Yeah, I guess, like, living vicariously through the game. This goes with a lot of nerd culture and, you know, freak culture, if you will. I mean, a lot of hentais, as a tangent, were written by females. So, that just goes to show. This isn't just a bunch of horny guys writing about their fantasies. I mean, it takes two to tangle. Like, there are a lot of female writers that write a lot of lewd stuff, a lot of female game designers that use lewd imagery. Depends on what you like. I'd say if you have some weird fetishes, they'd probably, tickle your fancy, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's two-dimensional chicks. What gives? It got bug eyes. Yeah. I mean, I know this one guy, this YouTuber right now, he's still in jail, but this guy, he
what? In jail?
Personified the waifu philosophy. And he was really into this chick from school days, and he had a portrait of her, and he would make videos doing all these mundane tasks with her, and it was on point. Like, I remember he had a birthday party for himself or for the female, and he made a video blowing out candles. Something that would be mundane if it was for a real person, but there you go. It's with a 2D female that isn't even real. There's a lot of stuff with dick girls too, females that have penises, but they're not really transsexuals. It's a dream, but I don't want to get viruses on my computer. For some reason, in spite of the fact that I'm a Mac user, this Mac's starting to get viruses now. I don't know, I guess I'm a new level of fail when it comes to operating a computer. This is also another important one, my foot fetish. It doesn't work with 2D. I mean, and I also love, like, a female with, you know, beautiful hands, you know, nice, like, a dental hygiene. Those don't work very well with 2D. What's not to like? Yeah. But a good artist can make the dimension. It's all about the aesthetic. It's all about the art form. There's just something missing. It doesn't look right. It's something that's difficult to articulate for me. Yeah, something is off. Something is terribly wrong.
Perhaps it's that you're looking at drawings of women instead of actual women.
You know, hit the nail on the head, boy. There were a lot of friends I had in middle school who disappeared around the summer of 2011. I wondered what happened to them, since I usually see them hanging around in Starbucks's, Chipotle's, you know, hipster areas all across the world. But they vanished. I found some of my friends many moons later, and they told me that they had left. They had vanished from society because of this really horrible hentai that they were sucked into, called Bible Black, and it's actually the most popular of the hentais. Voice acting is horrible. There's dick girls. There's, like, needless satanic imagery and occult stuff. It's like a bad Shin Megami Tensei game, but it's fat material that tries to be dark. It just looks draconian. It doesn't. It's not good fat material. I mean, the penises look horrible. They look like a, you know, zombie troll leprechaun things, like from that WWE movie they're coming up with, that horror film. And, you know, it's disgusting. Like, and there's also, like, dick girls there. You would think with what they were trying to go for that they would eventually bring out Cthulhu, because why not? But H.P. Lovecraft. Now that's a real man right there.
Indeed, artist, indeed. Thank you, and until next time.
It's so goddamn good. What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Well, so there that is.
Oh, that's a classic. That wow. You know, when Vivaldi composed that, I'm sure he was picturing
an autistic hentai fan to tell us about his passion and his foot fetish. Now, it didn't relate in 2D.
Yeah, this actually provides new context to Vivaldi's work. He was actually, because of the limitations of the medium, that was actually early hentai. So what he was composing there with the seasons was the whole, you know, I guess maybe the way the play would work, you know, like there was the introduction of the characters, and then you bring in Cthulhu and his dick's there, and then yeah, I am totally into this.
We're gonna have, like, other
conversations
with the autiste in the future. I mean, he has a lot to share with us.
Yeah, this is not one and done.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, these are some new insights. I'm gonna have to deal with this.
And, you know,
later.
And being all right, it's not like we only have one autiste to choose from that we can speak to. So,
oh, we have eight.
We don't. We are all autiste. Like, right now, I'm not kidding. I'm painting Tau for 7th edition Warhammer 40K.
Oh.
Not even kidding.
I believe you.
No, I really think I will take fucking pictures of this bullshit because, and you know, I've always, like, disliked Tau. Like, I've been a Black Noir player.
Oh my god.
Chaos.
Start playing Vivaldi.
I gotta cue it up. I don't have a cue.
Whenever somebody starts talking about their particular geek hobby, you start playing the Vivaldi song as I describe it.
oh shit. We could do this. You know, and unlike Irene, you get laid.
Yeah, that's
like, yeah, we should probably pay attention to the fact that I'm more successful than Irene despite being a complete fucking geek. And yeah, alright, let's move on, fuck it.
Who wasn't to kick us off with the Ebola stuff?
Well, I was just going to say the Third World made a huge splash into the First World this week. The United States, the only non-African nation with an African head of state, is now also the only non-African nation with an Ebola problem.
I don't think it's quite gotten to the point of a problem yet.
Well, it's here at all. It's, for me, it's been enough of a problem. It's here at all. It was so easy to not have it.
I can agree, but I mean, it's definitely, I'm pretty confident it's not going to evolve into, we still have our wealth and resources to deal with any kind of shitty situation that may occur.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to become an epidemic here, and I think that the fact that it's very difficult to spread and the necessary contact that requires spreading is makes it, and the health system that we have here does, I think, make an outbreak unlikely. But I am actually a bit outraged that it was even allowed to get here, exactly. And the reasons why it was allowed to get here, and the reasons why they're not actually going to do more to prevent more from coming here. And
we actually have a liberalism epidemic, is what it is.
Did you see the CNN thing with the guy that was some kind of Ebola expert or whatever, who went up on some tangent about how it would be completely unethical to stop Ebola from coming in because of slavery or something?
Yeah.
On fucking CNN. On CNN!
Yeah, I mean, and this type of attitude is taken seriously. I mean, I guess the background of the Ebola case here is some guy from Monrovia, Liberia, which is one of the places that's worst hit. I think the other two nations are Sierra Leone and Nigeria. This guy flew over here to see his family in Dallas. He had it. He went to the hospital. They didn't think he had that. They didn't ask him the right questions. And one of the things I was reading today was talking about how the CDC's protocol for Ebola handling it here doesn't even have something to deal with an individual who is arrived here from an Ebola hot zone. So, in other words, like, you go to the hospital, and if you're suspected of having Ebola, there's certain questions they ask you. And if you answer certain ways, that activates certain protocols for dealing with you. But because of the way the questions are structured, the way this guy answered, he didn't activate those protocols. They gave him antibiotics and he went home. Because all he said was, yes, I've recently been to Africa. But that doesn't even cover. You could come in from like Johannesburg and it would be fine. It doesn't matter. But he's coming directly from Monrovia, Liberia, which is the hot zone, and he lived there. And then he just comes over here. So, and of course, the whole thing is linked to, Liberia was a nation created of ex-U.S. slaves. The U.S. has like a unique responsibility to them, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine, whatever. I'm not even going to argue that point, but all you need to do, all I want them to do, I don't even want them to go crazy, just don't let people fly in here from those three countries. That's it. And don't let our people fly there. That's it. That's all I want. If you want to send fucking soldiers, medical personnel, whatever, fine. But just don't let them come here. How hard is that?
It's not like we have a thriving trade between, three low-level third-world nations that really don't produce anything besides AIDS and Ebola.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but it's just us. Air France, British Airways, and Emirates all stopped flights to Liberia and Sierra Leone back in August.
Huh. So, and you know what? There's one other nation that did.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Can I guess?
Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down!
Awesome. All right, so what I heard was the United States actually developed Ebola to destroy the Africans.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Ebola
4chan developed Ebola.
Did we not develop this virus to annihilate these Africans? I mean, was that not the ultimate solution?
Enslaving them wasn't enough.
As well as AIDS. I mean, any disease that primarily hits an African population is definitely engineered by white people in order to eliminate Africans, because that's obviously the easiest way. I mean, obviously, we want to eliminate Africans. It's not like we go out of our way to accommodate them.
It's not like they eliminate themselves or,
not like these diseases could possibly be linked to their own shitty conditions and behaviors. It's no way.
I'm afraid of Africans taking over the world because it's a very advanced, adaptive society, and they've got colonialist intentions here, and they're going to destroy us. Like, we need to take them out through viruses and technology. It's a serious problem.
You've seen those fucking sticks? They're really pointy.
They are fucking pointy, okay? Like, the sticks are really pointy, and they've usually got feces on them, and that's just, that's chemical warfare, you know?
And they're like, very fleet of foot. I mean, let's not forget that. They're very fleet of foot.
There was some rapper somewhere in West Africa. I don't know who the rapper was or whatever, but as part of his performance, he was in this big ball, and they were throwing the ball around, like, in the audience. Like, he was inside this ball being...
Like a hamster ball,
crowd,
basically.
Like, crowd surfed around. Yeah, basically. Yeah. And there were articles written about it in such a way as to... Well, they all said, blah, blah, rapper accused of being in bubbles to prevent himself from getting Ebola.
What an, like, awful thing to
nerve. Do. He's accused? Like, what? Fine. How dare you not want to shit your guts?
Well, I mean, these are the same people that discovered, like, this is the same advanced civilization that discovered that anal sex will not spread AIDS. Like, I mean, that's, like, wow, well, they're on the cutting edge, man.
We created AIDS. I mean, this is white people. We made AIDS.
Hey, Quinn Suocha!
This is the same area that, what, imprisoned a goat? Because they believed it was a man that polymorphed, and he was a warlock. And, you know, then there's a video somewhere of a West African, like, interrogating a parrot and then burning it because they believed that it was a witch doctor or something.
It's actually pretty funny that we're making all these little jokes about, you know, about what obviously goes on over there, and it's basically like the same, like, strain of, I guess, prejudice, or whatever you want to call it, if you want to sound gay, prejudice, is basically, like, the backbone of the argument from nobody liberals about why it's not going to be a big deal here. It's because, like, well, only in those countries do people get sick and die. It's, you know, that's not going to happen here. You know, with them, it's got nothing to do with who looks like what and who has what kind of genetics. It's just, well, they're it's dirty there. It's not dirty here, so we'll be okay. And you can kind of try to coax out of them with the
yeah, let's import some dirt, because that won't do anything.
Yeah. There's just, it's sort of like, I wouldn't be surprised if there were actually, I don't know if there's necessarily anybody in the government would think this way, but if there were actually people on the left that sort of want some white people to get infected with this, so that it's not like everybody doesn't think of Ebola as just like an African disease.
Right.
Because then it's sort of like Ebola, obviously, really nobody wants to get this. Like, you don't want to die by having your internal organs liquefy. Ugh. Like, that's just not how you want to go out, right? Like, you really don't want to die that way. So it's something you really, really want to avoid. And the only people that get it are fucking dirt-ass poor Africans. So, like, the implications of that are really, really unpleasant to a liberal mindset. You know, that the fact that you would have a justified reason, and one of the, as I've been reading some various opinions on this, and one guy I was reading was saying something along the lines of they actually want to play down, like, one of the reasons he thinks there might be a sort of welcoming attitude towards it actually being in the United States is that it plays down the aspect that you can actually isolate it to West Africa, the poorest region of West Africa, and that actually just not letting those people come into your country is just a viable solution for preventing it from spreading. Like, just don't let them come. You know, it's a perfectly good solution to the problem for your country. And the United States government has refused to do that. And I don't think it's a conspiracy on their part. I think they are just paralyzed by the fact that they cannot do anything that can be perceived to be racist.
This fear of giving anybody that could be perceived as right wing or even is right wing any kind of ammo at all to be more nationalistic is worth as much death and disease and whatever. It's worth any price. If you look at
child molestation.
Yeah, the British had no problem letting thousands of children be raped by Pakistanis. And the United States really, really wants a pause load in their rectum from pure Africans.
God.
Liberalism is supposed to be the most – this is like supposed to be the end of history as far as humanism, as far as like man caring about each other and the brotherhood of man and us all being equal. And it's like if that's your equality, that why aren't we just killing each other? Like, because that seems to be the equality then, is everyone dying in horrible ways.
I mean, it's essentially an oppositional philosophy. Like, we've always said this. Like, if you want to predict what liberals are going to say, just look at what conservatives might think or believe and do a 180 from there, and that will be the fucking liberal stance.
The shelling point you go off is will this position, would the idea that we would shut down travel to and from West Africa empower conservatives, empower racism? The funny thing is, in this country, it probably wouldn't, even because everybody is so scared of racism. Or being anything close to racism.
I don't know.
Everybody could explain their way out of this as not being racist if we actually did it.
I'm scared of Ebola.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not scared that I'm going to get Ebola tomorrow. Although, if I'm taking a flight this week, if my family is ever exposed, you're going to see the most amazing 1488 gas on my public wall, on my Facebook. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to go down.
My question is this. How far would you have to go? I mean, literally, like, would this have to be a scene out of Resident Evil where Africa is overrun by a zombie plague and there are just these fast zombies running around everywhere?
Like, World War Z.
That's you know, you don't be a racist. I mean, it's hard to be infected by zombieism.
But like, it's
funny story. The one instance of the Ebola virus coming over to Switzerland was a Swiss doctor was actually bitten by an Ebola infected patient.
I did not know.
Holy shit!
Wow.
So that's actually really funny.
And it's not like I'm terribly scared or it's fear-mongering. I mean,
well, sorry, if you're concerned about it at all, you're A, racist, and you're B, you're fear-mongering. Like, these are the two things those are the two things I'm encountering as I try to talk about it to people that are outside of our circle. Is a really good friend of mine, a good personal friend of mine, an IRL actual friend. Like, I posted something about when it first happened. And his immediate comment was, "Stop fear mongering. Don't feed into this stuff." I'm like, I just posted. This just happened. I didn't make this up. This isn't some crazy fucking website that makes up stories. There's a guy who has Ebola. Here's a picture of the Mexicans pressure washing the sidewalk that he puked all over with a pressure washer without masks on. This kind of, if this is legit, this worries me. The virus lives in liquid in certain. At certain temperatures for a certain amount of time, and they're blasting water all over the area, and they're not wearing masks, and they probably have kids who go to schools because, God forbid, we let a Mexican come here and we don't let his kids go to school for free. And, you know,
well, we have all the Honduran children that they brought in. Yeah. Some of them have tuberculosis. And
how often do they wash their hands? Do they wipe their asses barehanded? Do they touch each other's food? Are they going to touch another kid's food in the lunchroom at school?
Kids are gross. Kids are very,
exactly.
Very gross.
And that's where
kids really don't wash up after themselves.
And even if you teach them, which I try to teach mine very well, to do, I mean, you know, they're going to slip up. It doesn't always work out. And that's where this shit's going to spread. If it gets into this public school system, you know, we have a real problem. It's not like this some impossible to catch infection. It's passed with bodily fluids. It's as easy to catch as, like, say pink eye or mono. It's not impossible. It's just because it's not airborne doesn't mean, you know, it's going to be nothing.
Schools are little germ factories, too, if anybody doesn't know. Like,
yes.
All right, so as a medical provider, one of the questions that we would ask is, have you been to a foreign country recently?
Right.
Because the medical community is, we've got common sense. Like, okay, so you've been to a country which is shitty. It's third world, and they don't have good medical care, and you probably got some shitty fucking viruses. Like,
right.
We're just going to rationally expect that you could have some problems here. I mean, it's not controversial.
But now this has to be part of your routine is like, okay, this person has a fever and I don't know, bloody whatever. Is this Ebola now? Like now that's part of their fucking, that's part of our fucking lexicon now.
I'm actually curious that.
It's horrible.
Because I remember, Alex, you are a medical provider. So has there been any protocols coming down from the CDC for you guys with this or what?
I haven't seen anything recently. I mean, the stuff I saw most up to date was about the bird flu bullshit and other crap. But one of the basic questions, though, is definitely, like, have you been outside of the country? Because we're extremely worried about tuberculosis. That's one of the big things. Right. TB is a huge fucking concern.
It's another situation where, a little border security would go a long way with that, but go on.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's one of the big ones. Like, TB is always concerned, is a major concern. They keep revising the TB test. I mean, back in the day, it was a one-step test. I got it recently. It was a two-step test now. Like, maybe it's a false negative. We should retest you for this. I mean, there's a lot of paranoia about that because, well, gosh, the U.S. actually has a decent standard of care. Other countries, we don't know. If you're from fucking South America or Africa, we don't know what your actual medical status is. I mean, you've probably never been vaccinated or tested for anything, so we'll be suspicious about you. And with certain patient populations, you know, if it's someone that's not American, yeah, I'm going to suspect that they've got some stuff that American probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
If you get any Liberians in your ambulance, just be like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, is that racist? Well, you know, they're not from this country. They don't speak my language. They're presenting with some strange symptoms, you know. I'm gonna put on a face shield. I'm going to put on my freaking respirator and all that. Like, yeah, that's suspicious to me. Like, I don't expect white people to have this kind of problem. All right, well, let's be straight about one thing real fast. Like, the medical community is actually racist. I mean,
yes.
you are stereotyped according to your race.
Yes.
Because they use statistics and, holy fucking shit, certain racial and ethnic groups are more prone to certain diseases than other racial and ethnic groups.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, I'm dealing with dialysis, kidney failure. Number one cause of kidney failure, diabetes. I mean, diabetes is pretty much another one of those white engineered diseases that kills black people because, you know, God forbid, you know, black people have a little bit of agency and don't constantly drink sugary beverages and, you know, all that stuff. Like, they actually, you know, practice a little bit of some.
So race doesn't exist, but race is a really good way to use heuristics to determine what kind of medical problem a person could have. There's a fucking reason for that. There are actual statistical trends, and you would suspect certain conditions for a particular race, and then not for another race.
There's actually something really funny about that when it comes to New York City and the homosexual community. So I don't know. As you know,
Do we have to?
Yes. No. This is a relevant story. As we know, like, being a active homosexual puts you at risk for a lot of different diseases, AIDS being one of the top ones. But the whole idea of being gay, like being a homosexual, is, surprise, surprise, a white thing. So white gay men consider themselves gay. The ones that are like, oh, I'm gay, I want a partner, I want to get married. That's a very white thing.
Right.
Now, there are plenty of blacks and Mexicans, whatever, that are men that buttfuck each other but are not gay. Like, they would not say, I'm gay. They would not live with another man as man and wife or man, husband and husband or whatever it is. They would not do that. They would not say, I'm gay, I'm homosexual. They don't identify it as their identity. It's just they have sex with other men. So they couldn't actually predict what risk factors there were, because if you're a non-white male that has sex with other men, you are basically the highest risk for all kinds of diseases. Mm-hmm. And they need to know this. The public health people need to know this. So they couldn't ask these people, are you gay? because they all say no, and then you don't know anymore. Then all right, now you're in a different risk category. So they had to create this. So there's no such thing as gay in New York City, surprisingly enough. The category is called men who have sex with men. Which is funny because there's also the, you know, the whole argument of is gay a thing or is it just a behavior, et cetera, which we can't get into now, but it's just interesting. And again, it's based on race. Like, you can predict that a white man is going to be like, I'm gay, you know, and probably very proud of that fact.
Right. Yeah. If you've got a new process now where you're asking, have you been out of the country? And obviously that's going to change even further with this disease.
Okay, so, there's a term for it. It's called index of suspicion.
Index suspicion.
Whoa, that's fucking racist as hell.
So obviously you and the CDC and whoever comes up with these policies, they're part of the fear-mongering because, according to this commenter, the U.S. has both the resources and the wherewithal to contain an Ebola outbreak very efficiently if need be. That's based on nothing. Huh?
Right. Absolutely.
And then the second sentence, I'm not worried about an epidemic, but about the actions of panicky, fear-mongering humans. Yeah, right. The disease is not the problem. The people concerned about it. Because obviously, torches and pitchforks, we're going to... Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because
that's about a 7 out of 10, Oven. Like that's pretty good. That right. one was
Let's
really
see if
good.
You can top that
Let's
one.
Let's go. And as far as the paranoia over transmission, unless you're sitting next to someone on a plane who is infected with Ebola and also happens to be bleeding, spitting, spooging, you're not going to catch it. The vomit outside of his house, unless you're rolling around in it, while it maintains the appropriate temperature and metabolic environment for viral transmission, you aren't going to magically catch it.
Ooh.
Right. He sounds like he knows some medical stuff.
Oh.
He knows all. I mean, you don't just magically catch diseases. You have to roll around and vomit. I mean, I know every time I've ever gotten the flu, it's because I was rolling around in somebody's vomit. Unless, you know, I got conjunctivitis because, you know, I was just swimming in toilets.
So wait, are you saying that white people are making these poor Africans roll around in each other's vomit?
I mean,
is that what we're implying here? That's about a 5 out of 10.
That's obviously what this person is implying, that's what goes on over there in Liberia. They roll around and vomit because, you know, how else would you catch the disease?
Well, you know, they get high on their AIDS medicine that they smoke. So I guess that's one thing that they do when they get high on their Wunga.
That's why medical providers don't wear gloves. I mean,
why would you wear gloves? There's absolutely no risk of just touching somebody. So there's no need for all these rubber gloves, face masks.
Jesus, man. Why the hell would you wear gloves?
Because, you know,
our skin is hermetically sealed. I mean, it's not like our skin's porous or anything.
Oh, it's transmitted by bodily fluids. That means, you know, just don't have sex with them because, you know, that just means semen. That's the only bodily fluid that counts.
And maybe peeing in them. Maybe if they're peeing in your mouth.
Wow.
Man, unless you're having versatile anal sex with an Ebola patient, you have zero risk, is what I'm understanding.
I mean, like a lot of medical providers, I was always trained, seen safe, BSI, which is body substance isolation. And body substance isolation is just racist.
It's just more microaggressions from the medical community.
It is. I mean, you're not going to contract shit through your fucking skin. I mean, why would you wear gloves and why would you put on a face shield or anything like that? I mean, that's bullshit.
We're sitting at about a 7 out of 10.
This
again.
Is one I like here. Here's a nice apples and oranges. Let's see. Around 1 million people die from malaria every single year.
God damn it. 9 out of 10.
Influenza kills hundreds of thousands. In fact, in 2009, 2010, H1N1 killed more people in a single flu season than the entire global homicides in 2010. There are a lot of really deadly illnesses, but Ebola isn't one of them. 3,000 deaths in a year's span is a joke as far as pandemics go. Plus, you have to consider the Liberia and such is a literal shithole where there's no running water, rampant cannibalism, and people shit and piss where they eat and dump it in the streets.
That's actually a valid point.
Yeah, that's fairly valid.
Well, the end of it is, but the beginning, we're going to compare Ebola to the flu and malaria. You know, all diseases that have tried and true treatments for the most part, whereas Ebola is new, it's scary, you melt from the inside out, and now it's here in a place where it doesn't belong.
It's a particularly horrifyingly way to die. But the whole point that they made at the end there about the conditions in Liberia makes it, to me, doubly preposterous that such a thing would ever make its way to a first world nation.
It shouldn't be here. And so this is a guy after the fact that it got here trying to downplay how bad it is. It's like, well, I don't care how many people died of influenza last year or in, what do you say, in 2009. If I'm the one that, you know, if I'm the next patient with Ebola, if it, or if one of my kids, you know, like, it's just apples. It doesn't matter. Like, why is this disease here? Shouldn't
wait.
Right
he's,
here?
He's talking about like the conditions of this third world, and he's not saying anything about the fact that we import the third world here.
We're like he's bringing not, that here.
Like, okay, so we're bringing in people that the highest level of civilization they've acquired is like the Dark Ages with AK-47s, and we're bringing that here because why?
Unicorns. And we can all hold hands and be the same.
And die of Ebola. That's great.
Right,
right. And it doesn't even have to be fear-mongering. I mean, this is my thing. Like, am I fear-mongering to say, let's just take a sensible precaution? Let's just cut off. I mean, all I'm asking them to do, just cut off civilian air travel. Is that fear mongering? It's a simple step to take.
I'm not fear mongering. I'm aghast at the idea that now it's a concern at all. Like it was one of these things that's a faraway thing that's horrible, and I don't really have to care that much about. Now I have to have like a small percentage of my brain caring about this every day. That I shouldn't have to have because we had the resources to keep it out of here, but we didn't have the will.
One thing that I'm now getting triggered thinking about is like I'm picturing the Gawker article depicting like the trials and tribulations of an African immigrant being microaggressed because people assume he or she has Ebola.
Yeah,
I can like I'm literally composing this article right now as we speak.
Well, just
Mobimbi Mobimbi is a 27-year-old native immigrant from Nigeria, and he deals with oppression daily. And I quote, "Ooga booga," and blah blah blah.
Like, just they're gonna start making movies like all those faggot with AIDS movies that they
Philadelphia.
Love. Yeah, Philadelphia, the Dallas Buyers Club, all this shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's racist that you're assumed to possibly have a disease if you're from another country.
Right, and it's going to be really sad when the crescendo of the musical score hits, when you're breaking down, when your main character's breaking down and can't deal with it anymore, it's just going to hammer it home, and we're going to start donating tons of money to this disease that, in actuality, is... was mostly contained to one small part of the world, but
we need to be colorblind about diseases. We need to not use any kind of epidemiology or statistics at all to inform us of where certain diseases come from. That's racist.
So how about I make you feel better now after the triggering? The conspiratard stuff is pretty funny. Our friends, you remember good old Zero Hedge, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hit us with Lakeland Industries, a manufacturer and seller of a comprehensive line of safety garments and accessories for the industrial protective clothing market. They claim on Zero Hedge that this company says that the U.S. government has bought 160,000 hazmat suits specifically designed against Ebola.
Okay, what's the problem?
Oh, what do they know that we don't?
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be another thing like they're ginning up the whole disease in order to sell.
No, because they knew it was coming.
That was the line Zero Hedge took on H1N1.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it's all made up by the government to sell flu vaccines.
But talking about, you know, Jews and fear-mongering.
Okay. We've got something on that. We've got that angle covered. You guys ready?
Yeah, my body's ready.
All right. Here we go. Here's our friend.
I may not be autistic enough to be a part of Chateau Autiste, but I'm autistic enough for this, the Merchant Minute. This week we've got a Category 5 happening. As the Jews brought the Ebola virus to Texas using some disposable didn't-do-nothing as a vessel, Kunta Kinte came into contact with as many as 100 people, including children, because the Jew knows kids in daycare are the best way to spread the virus, and wipe out an entire generation of white goyim now that the necessary groundwork has been laid by putting mothers in the workplace and putting kids in pits of streptococcus and influenza. The Jewish CDC chief maintains that closing the border to all travel from African nations currently affected by Ebola to protect American citizens would be bad because racism. And ISIS has beheaded another good goy while Israel neglects to strike the terrorists even though they're right on their border. As I said in a previous episode, ISIS is a creation of the Silverstein Bergowitzkis. 4chan's creator, Christopher Poole, also known as Moot, has sold out those of us who can't stop talking about feminism, video games, and Jews controlling everything, sparking a mass exodus of 4chan users moving to 8chan. Some are speculating that because Moot attended an Anita Sarkeesian panel at a conference that some feminazi Jew-ass succubus must be controlling him with her pussy. This is very likely, considering that half of the 4chan crowd is learning Japanese in the vain hope of scoring some sideways Japanese vaginas, race-mixing in their dreams just as the Jew planned. But I vow to you that no feminazi shekel-clutcher temptress will ever interfere with my devotion to this 1 to 2 minute segment where I talk about Ashkenazi Jews the way black Hebrew is Israelite street preachers talk about whites.
That's right, man! Yeah, nigga.
Kikes gather, and now my watch begins. For the right stuff.biz, I'm Morocco, and this has been the Merchant Minute.
It just gets better every week. So that's the Daily Show for this week. Thanks for joining me in the death panel on our little struggle session. Thanks to Marakiu. Thanks to Le Autiste. Thanks to Kimmy Goebbels. Next week, programming note, I shall be vacationing. So I'm going to cut together some. We got a lot of material we haven't used yet, so we're going to have some outtakes. It's going to be all stuff you haven't heard before, but it just won't be brand new. So make sure you tune in and listen to that. We'll see if we can get a new Merchant Minute for that, too. Hopefully Marakiu won't...
Won't bitch out.
I won't think he gets the week off, too.
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
I don't think so.
Well, he usually is responsive to peer pressure.
Yeah, so we'll get on him. All right. Thanks a lot.
And always remember.
That's right. That's right.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Adios, mi general. Adios. La página que hoy día se cerró. Se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol. Justo en el umbral donde se encuentran. Los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás...